Because we live in a Puritan police state, we are obliged to inform you that we may sometimes use explicit language. Now that you've been informed, things are about to get weird.
You can go through life having all kinds of love. Jaded love, faded love, young love, true love, puppy love, even corny love. But you ain't never had no real love till you have what I like to call sheephead love. We ate oysters in Miami. We got the crabs down in Baltimore.
Welcome to What I Had Heard Was. I am Jennifer.
I'm Anna. And today we are having happy hour. We have a super special guest, a king of happy hour, so to speak, one Mr. Mike Mad Dog Adams. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, how are you? Jennifer and Anna. This is Anna, correct?
Correct.
All right. I'm doing okay as far as, you know, times are concerned.
I know, right? It's a crazy time we've got here, huh?
Yeah, it's, you know, I completely lost a day. I made a post yesterday for my fans and friends saying it was Tuesday and what I'm doing and this and that. And then I realized today is Thursday and I'm going, what the hell happened to Wednesday? Are you guys having that problem too?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, with the pandemic and being unemployed, honestly, every day is Friday. So.
What a rough position to be in.
No problem. Yeah, you know, it's we got a lot of snow up here in Cleveland, Ohio. How about you guys down in Cincinnati?
We have quite a bit. We got about 10 inches total, I think.
Yeah, I think all of the United States right now is dealing with a bunch of snow, you know, especially, you know, our love goes out to the folks down in Texas. They're having a rough time right now.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty ironic that the energy state doesn't have the energy anymore right now, so. Who knows what they're doing with us? They're screwing with all of us.
Yeah, I know, right?
But you know, any time in the south down there too, when people get a couple inches of snow, they're just so not used to driving in it that they all go ape shit, you know.
Oh, it's very true. You could say the same thing about you folks here in Cincinnati with that, you know.
Well, that accident. Did you see that accident in Fort? I think it was Fort Worth.
No.
Oh, God. Oh, there was. Like several deaths and, you know, 50 or 100 cars and trucks. And I see some footage. It was just horrible. So, yeah. And I sure hope people ain't freezing down in Texas. I hope they get the, you know, some sort of assistance with heat and everything.
Oh, it's very true.
Unfortunately, they had already lost 14 people as of a couple days ago. So it's not a problem they have a handle on.
You know, I was watching I've been watching a lot of YouTube stuff lately, and just because, you know, you don't have to commit to it, you can just, you know, there's a lot of variety, and you can just pick and choose and watch 10, 15 minutes of something.
But totally.
I'm watching this stuff about the homeless in L.A. and the homeless in Las Vegas, the mole people who live in the 600 miles of sewers underneath Las, and people are living down there.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've seen people live in underpasses, you know, like the trolls in Three Billy Goats Gruff, but you don't need either. But whole little communities living in these storm sewers, it's awful. It's too bad that people have to live there.
Right, right.
Anyway, sorry, I'm digressing here. We'll probably be all over the board. I'm so happy to be a guest on your show.
Thrilled to have you here.
Oh, yeah, we're super glad to have you. And you know, you're in the right spot for digressing. We do that quite often.
Yeah, we need a pause every now and then, you know, formulate our bong water thoughts.
So, speaking of buzzes and bong water, I have a Second Sight Spirits dark rum and coke here with me.
You're drinking this early.
Well, you know, I mean, depending on when you're listening to the podcast, and I don't know, a wise man once told me that it's 4 o'clock somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's just a little too early for me to have but you know what I might do is, well, you know what, I'm gonna do something I know I shouldn't do, but I'm gonna do a shot with you guys in a bit. We'll do a social, one of my toasts, when we get to talking about what I do in the show.
Yes.
If we get that far.
We're here for it.
Yeah, right. We're here for it. Yeah, no, our episode's about happy hour, you know, so just sitting here talking about the social aspect of it and, you know, what we love about it. I know I'm a big happy hour fan, that golden hour in between work and dinner time. You can just relax. You can go and hang out with people before you have to go home and do more work. So I appreciate it.
Makes me happy.
Makes you happy?
Yeah. For at least an hour.
Yeah, we need more than an hour. You know?
Yeah.
Right.
It takes me an hour to clear my throat anymore. How old are you ladies? Are you sensitive about that? Are you
43.
43.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yes. I gotta do some math.
You will. Well, see, you're getting in the right frame of mind for your senior years, because nobody appreciates drinking in the afternoon more than people in their 60s and 70s.
That's because by the time you're 60 and 70, you're eating dinner at 4 o'clock. So if you're having your cocktail hour, you know, that's like what, 1, 2 o'clock. So
if I'm in my 50s and I don't have anything to do, I'm definitely having like a 9-hour happy hour.
I think that's called alcoholism.
It's called commitment. And I am an overachiever.
Well, you need to come up and drink with the champions at Putin Bay at the Roundhouse where I perform, because I do afternoon shows there. I will go on anytime around 2 o'clock that I feel, sometimes a little earlier, sometimes at 2:30, 40, you know. And I'll play for a couple hours and then take a little break and come back and play a little more. And we're all having we're just happy ass drunks by 6 o'clock. And then I leave the island, then I go home, I have dinner, I watch an hour or two of TV, and I'm asleep by 9, and I feel like I had a great day. Now, that's not how it used to be, but it works for me at this age. Back in the day, I'd get up and start drinking at noon, and I could go on stage at 2, and then we'd do 2 to 5, and then we'd go over to Kelly's Island and do a 9 to midnight, and then we'd drink and party until the sun come up, 3 or 4 days a week.
Ouch.
Man.
And I'm glad I did it. I'd do it all over again, but I certainly wouldn't do it now.
I feel that way about a lot of things.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I think it's important to try the things you want to try, do the things you want to do while you can. If you've got the opportunity, if you've got the time, if you've got the money and resources, you should do it. You should do it. Don't let anybody stand in the way, because from my personal experience, you'll go, oh, shit, I'm glad I did that, man. I am glad I did that. Even if it turned out bad. Because, you know, you always learn. You always learn from something.
Yep.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I learn a lot more from my mistakes than I do my successes, so.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. If you're not making mistakes, you're not trying hard enough.
Exactly. What is it? Be brave enough to fail.
I think we're all in a constant state of learning. Oh, those with open minds enough to accept that they don't know everything.
I agree. You should be in a constant state of learning and betterment, bettering yourself, and trying to make the world around you, in your little world, my
little world, a little bit better.
A little bit better, yeah. And, you know, the thing is, the karma is so there. And I can't believe people don't see the karma in life. And you can actually make karma work for you, you know, because what you do, it's coming back. It's coming back, and it's coming back more. So I'm surprised more people don't understand that. I think it's part of nature. I just think it's a natural thing, part of the universe.
It's hard to understand when you have a situation where you have a really awful person, because it doesn't make sense, you know.
Oh. Was that an awful person or awkward person?
Awful. Awkward people, I'm all about. I am an awkward person.
Why do you feel that you're awkward? Is that, did you overthink stuff?
I definitely overthink stuff. And then I say stuff I shouldn't say.
Well, that you don't have to, you know, that, I don't know. You mean like telling people the truth?
But not in the nicest way. There's a way to do it.
Yeah, there's a way to say shit. And that wasn't just it. Don't overthink it.
That's good, you know, life advice.
The more you think about doing, like, say a small thing. Say you're afraid of escalators. And so every time you get to the escalator, you know you're afraid of the escalator, and you go to step on it, but you're thinking about stepping on it and thinking about not. And, like, you know, all these things are going on in your head when you should overthink it. You should just walk onto it. That's kind of my feeling about that, overthinking stuff. I've overthought stuff in my life, and it didn't make anything better.
No, it doesn't. Because it's going to turn out how it's going to turn out regardless. You know, worrying about it isn't going to change it.
It'll turn out better if you don't overthink it. I'm not talking about thinking it through. Thinking it through is a different story. But, you know, that kind of obsessive overthinking about things.
Yeah, we all have our moments.
Yeah. But I do agree that we should all, you know, all of us should be trying to learn constantly, learn stuff. And they make it so easy for us now to learn new things.
Oh, seriously, with the internet and, like, having a computer on your phone just right there and television programs. I mean, if you're not learning something, you are honestly trying not to.
Yeah, well, I'm forgetting. If we're talking about cutting the population, let's start with the people who ain't learning anything. How's that? That's a good one.
Sure.
I don't know. I just made it up. I might use that in the show.
There you go.
Yeah.
Right on. Do we get credit for it?
Did you say it?
I don't remember.
How much rum have you had?
Have another one, baby. Every day on the ground is a good day.
Yeah.
A little mad dog coming out here. See, I don't get into any heavy philosophy as mad dog. Although on my Facebook, Friday night Facebook get-togethers, which I call the Perch Church, a little concept I come up with for trying to get through the pandemic here with my friends and my fans. So anyway, but about the Facebook, the Friday night Facebook get-together, I was afraid of doing it. Now, for any of your listeners out there who are not familiar with me, I've been performing at the Roundhouse Bar at Put-in Bay for 40 years. Last year would have been my 41st year straight of performing there every summer since 1980.
That's fantastic.
And I've performed all over North America and the Caribbean and travel and do a lot of shows. And I do comedy and music. And, I've done stand-up comedy. I've done country music. Done a lot of different things. To make a living.
who's been your favorite person to perform with?
Well, the one I like to say the most, of course, is Johnny Cash, because I think that's the biggest of them all.
Sure.
And he was a great guy. I got the opportunity to meet him, talk with him a little bit, and then open a couple shows for him. And he was just a great guy. Loretta Lynn was a real sweetheart, same way. Most of them were all pretty good people to perform with. There were a few that were bricks, you know.
Trash talk.
One of the things that I learned, though, which is surprising, because especially if you're fortunate enough in life or unfortunate enough in life to meet people you see as heroes or role models or idols or whatever, people that you admire, if you're fortunate enough to meet them, and even more fortunate enough to work in some manner with them where you can observe them and learn from them, which is the goal, really. Sometimes what you see isn't so pretty. Sometimes what you see, you wish or said or whatever. And you got to give, everybody has a bad day. I've had people see me in a very bad light on many occasions. I've been doing this all my life. So I've had some very bad days, particularly in my younger days. But because now I'm I'm older and wiser, hopefully. So I would always give somebody, but when you start hearing stories on the road from other performers and other, oh yeah, that guy's a real ass, you know, that kind of thing. And then you work with them again a couple times or whatever. And they're just, you know, you realize that everybody ain't good. Everybody is not, has these altruistic kind of values and want to help each other. And there's a lot of people that were very petty too, that they don't want you out there in front opening a show for them and being as good as them or better.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's, you know, that's the duality of man. You know, everybody's got a good side, a bad side. You know, depending on who you talk to, you know, that person's an angel, that person's a devil, like, you know, and we all have those moments in us, you know, so that's the thing about, you know, fame and putting people on a pedestal is that, you know, you're setting that individual up for failure as well as your expectations of that individual.
Anna.
You know, you just gotta realize, you know, people are people.
Anna, you're echoing.
Well, I gotta let you guys do all the talking. I'm gonna learn something here today. I like that, the duality of man.
Yeah. I didn't come up with that one, though. I can't take credit for that.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is that a concept or a theory of book or a school of thought? Is that what that is? Because it just sounds like it should be, you know, stand for something.
She picked it up somewhere and was like, I'm going to reuse this shit and sound smart.
No,
I do that all the time.
Don't we all?
So what I had heard was...
Oh, that's the name of the show, too. What I heard. So what I heard was.
Yeah.
So what I heard was. I really liked the title. At first, when I looked at the title, I was like, that's interesting. But then the more I thought about it, the more I go, well, you know, it kind of absolves you guys of having to be fact-checked or accurate.
We know who we are.
Oh, my gosh. How many episodes have we done and finally somebody caught on?
Yeah, there you go.
I think it's brilliant. Oh, God.
We also
that's a little something I learned from philosophy 101 class. So,
oh man, you know, yeah, I'm an amateur philosophalist. I like to call myself. I'm not quite a philosopher. I'm a philosopher.
I'm a philosopher.
Sure.
Yeah, which means, you know, I try, but I'm not educated in the school of philosophy except my experience. And, you know, I know a little bit about Socrates and Plato and the Greeks and the whole thing, but I'm not educated. It sounds like, did you take a philosophy course?
I took philosophy 101.
Oh, wait a minute. Just enough to get you in trouble.
Exactly.
What I had heard was the roads are pretty bad.
They are terrible. I haven't been going out all this week, man. Went out to have my taxes done yesterday. That was the first time I was out in a week. And you know what the scary part is? I'm not minding. I feel like I need to go out and do something fun, but I know I can't do that.
Yeah.
Well, my kind of fun. I like to gamble. I'm a casino guy. I'm, you know, nightclub, bar stuff, restaurants and things. I like to go out. We've been doing a lot of puzzles, my wife and I, Michelle, and she loves puzzles and stuff. She's kind of a reserved person, intellectual type, and she likes puzzles and Scrabble, and so we've been doing those things and having a lot of fun with that, because I've never been home this much in my life. I can't imagine being with somebody, having to be with somebody, for this whole pandemic thing, you know. I feel sorry for people that have to deal with that.
This whole experience has made me really think about people in nursing homes and solitary confinement in jail and, you know, just not being able to get around and socialize and, you know, have physical touch. And, yeah,
it definitely
puts a lot of that in perspective.
I'm dealing with a very, I wasn't going to really talk about it. We're dealing with a really bad situation with my mother and being in a nursing home now and everything. On Christmas Day, she went to adjust thermostat. She lives by herself in her apartment. She's 86 years old. About 1 in the morning, she gets up to adjust the thermostat, falls, and breaks her leg.
Jeez.
Oh, man.
She lives alone, and she didn't have her cell phone around with her that she usually keeps for emergencies.
Oh, my God.
And it took her, like, a couple hours to crawl to her cell phone. have EMS come, and they had to break the locks on the door and rescue her. The hospital is right behind her apartment. So it took her like, she got in there at 4:30 in the morning, I believe.
Oh, my gosh.
So now, Christmas Day, and I didn't find out until later. Yeah, they were yelling at it because I wasn't answering my phone. But I'm getting all these goddamn phone calls from the people with some of the auto insurance. That's another story altogether. My poor mother, right? So they're going to operate immediately the next day. So now she's got to do this rehab, right? And once again, only one person a day in the hospital. So she's there for a week. We go with the doctor's suggestion of where she should stay. They had a person try to assign her a place in a nursing home near. We have one picked out. The doctor says, oh, no, this other one's closer. And so she goes there. She gets transferred there. New Year's Eve, because she just came into the nursing home, she had to be quarantined for 14 days.
Oh.
Isolation. I mean, people came in, checked on her, fed her and everything like that, you know, took care of her, but she couldn't be in the community or whatever. Now she can't walk anyway. She's got a broken, she's got to heal. Now she gets out into general population and she's going to get her therapy and everything. 3 days later, she catches the COVID in there.
Oh, God.
Has to go back into for 14 days. She gets over the COVID, survives the COVID, I mean, handily. She's still there. I just talked to her today because now we find out at a certain point that what she thought was covered wasn't covered, and she's paying out of pocket. It's just a freaking mess.
Jeez.
On so many levels. But the thing that makes it so incredibly overly difficult is this COVID. We can't go there. Nobody's allowed in the nursing home, but no visitors there. And so you can't go and, you know, I can't hold her hand or hug her or talk to her, tell her to go, you know, or listen to her bullshit because, I mean, she just, you know, she gets angry and mean and she scares the hell out of caregivers.
That's a superpower.
So that's my COVID nursing home misery. And of course, I'm giving you the short version of what could be a really long story and boring, I suppose.
We hope now she's doing well.
Boy, I really got off the track, didn't I? Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I was glad to get the update on your mom.
Thank you.
And I know that you know, you've been talking about this whole journey with her on your Facebook page and at the Perch Church, and you know, so, and I know that we're all pulling for her.
Thank you.
She sounds like a champion, though, so I'm sure she'll probably outlive us all.
she could. She's got that longevity gene, and she's got that, you know, she's full of piss and vinegar, man. It's tough.
Oh, I hear that's really good on French fries.
Well, she got a lot of cards from people, a lot of cards. I haven't been able to see them because I can't go in. I go and drop stuff off. And, of course, she only drinks bottled water, and I don't know why it takes six goddamn hours to get it up to her room, which is only second floor, but it does.
Yeah, everything's a little slower now.
I know. And everybody is dealing with their COVID situation, I mean, everybody has some sort of COVID nightmare story.
Oh, sure. You know, for myself, yeah, our whole theatrical industry is shut down right now, so, you know, trying to pivot and deal with that kind of stuff. People working in restaurants, you know, their whole livelihood's been destroyed. I know there's been a lot of local restaurants around here that have had to close because they just couldn't keep things open, couldn't keep stuff going.
My heart really bleeds for, you know, I've been in this industry all my life, and I've worked for people, families who own clubs and restaurants and whatnot.
Yeah.
And the family business is the one that really, really disturbs me. The one that they've built 3-4 generations, even 2 generations. I mean, even the startups, I just feel bad for them all because it's many of them will never be able to come back from this bounce back.
Right.
And it's sad. It's sad. Is it necessary? I don't know. I mean, for people like me, I haven't gone out because I'm in the high risk category with, you know, diabetes and shit like that. So I've been very careful, and I've had friends who have gotten it. And I'm more normally a conspiracy. You know, I'm going to get the shot, but I have a little bit of reluctance. I just, who knows what to think anymore?
Yeah, it's hard. We're in a time of a whole bunch of confusion. Nobody has any control. When people lose control of a situation that they normally feel comfortable in, you know, that's when panic sets in and you start doing all kinds of crazy shit.
So. Yeah. Jennifer, what do you think?
About getting vaccinated?
Well, yeah. I
will get vaccinated first chance I get. Uh-huh. I've done enough stupid shit to myself that I'm not too worried about what they're going to... And I will continue to do so, I'm sure.
Yeah. Can't get it. Again, I'm 65. So, and I was supposed to get it last week, and they did. And my wife was fortunate enough to get hers a month ago, and she can't get the second shot.
Oh, jeez.
So it's so shittily mismanaged, but that's the government for you. Yeah, it's like I would never let the government round me up into a stadium for my own protection like they did in New Orleans for people. Man, I'd rather chance it on my own. The government just, I'm not down on the government. I'm just down on the confusion that one hand doesn't know what the other hand's doing. And it really seems like it's just some big out of control entity of itself that doesn't even know what it's doing. Yeah, just trying to keep everything moving ahead.
I think that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, they're not known for their efficiency, but if you need something done big, whether it's big good or big bad, they'll get it done.
I think you're better off the farther away you are from government and authority and hospitals, medical situations. The farther away you can stay away from all that, the better you are.
Here, here. I think that's a good thing for us to toast, staying out of the hospital.
All right, guys, to staying out of the hospital. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Can I get a ride home?
I'll call you an Uber.
Ziggy, zaggy, ziggy, zaggy. Hoy, hoy, hoy. To all the healthcare frontline workers and to all of us, stay out of the hospital.
I will drink to that.
Jennifer. Cheers. Anna, cheers.
Cheers.
A little early for my vodka.
That's all right. I hear it puts hair on your chest.
Yes, it does. But if you have thyroid disease, it takes the hair off your legs.
Huh. See, we learn new stuff every day.
The more you know.
Yeah, the more you know.
I really want to buy one of those windsock guys, like the full windsock. Tube guy.
Oh, the dancing tube guy?
Yeah, the inflatable tube guy. I want to buy like a full-size one and just stick it in front of my house.
Yeah. You know,
I feel like it would bring it home, the look we've got going on here with like the grave on the side of the house.
What, like weird car wreck kind of a thing? Or?
Yeah. Who knows what's going on over here?
I think that would make a lot of people smile. I think that'd be a cool thing to do. Because usually those guys are at the used car dealerships, furniture stores. Right? Am I thinking about the right one?
Yep.
The one that's a real happy ass and waving and, you know, wiggling around?
Or the meat store.
Or the meat store.
What meat store are you going to?
The happy floaty meat guy store.
You'd wiggle around a lot, too, if you had a fan up your ass.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
That was totally uncalled for.
Never.
But very truthful. So.
I don't know why I'm thinking of this, but Joel had pancakes last weekend, and he asked me for pancake sauce, and it took me just a minute to figure out what the hell he was talking about. Have you ever heard this before?
He forgot the word for syrup?
No. He knows syrup. He just calls it pancake sauce.
Pancake sauce. Huh. See, that's what they should have changed the name of Aunt Jemima's syrup to.
You're right.
Pancake sauce.
Pancake sauce. Now, people would buy that because they'd go, geez, I can't get Aunt Jemima syrup anymore. I'm not buying Aunt Jemima syrup. They changed the name. I'm not Miller. It's a Miller Milling Company, something. Earl Milling Company is what it's called now. Mm-hmm. And which is the dumbest goddamn name I ever heard for pancake syrup. But see, if they would have listened, what's his name, Larry?
Joel. You can call him Larry if you want to.
Bob.
He doesn't listen.
Oscar
De La Hoya.
What's his name?
Keanu Reeves.
Joel.
Okay, so if they would have listened to Joel, I think that's pancake sauce. That sounds good because people would say, I've never had pancake sauce. What could that possibly be?
I was impressed. Like, I still think about this pancake sauce.
I think that's a great idea.
See, there we go. That's how we're going to make our hundreds.
Hundreds and hundreds.
Yeah, our hundreds of dollars. We're going to market pancake sauce.
Well, now people can donate to your you know, I tried to donate when I, because you guys, I was listening to a couple of your shows, and I really enjoyed it a lot.
Well, thank you.
I liked listening to you two, really, because you just kind of laid back and fun and nice. But I tried to donate some money, like $20 or something, wasn't a lot, but, and I couldn't for some reason. It didn't, wasn't working. And now this was before Christmas.
Oh, well, we're going to have to fix that then.
I did not know that.
And there was something else. There was something else. It was like, I think I was going to order a shirt or something, too. So there was a little, you might want to check the interaction with your site to make sure it's.
What's happening? I'm well, sorry that you couldn't give us your money, but we'll fix that.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, I think it's a great idea. Something you can do as sisters and be yourselves and have fun with it. And
well, I know I've enjoyed it.
How long are you going to keep going at this? Do you guys like it? Is it something you want to keep pursue, or just something you're dabbling with right now to have some fun?
It's ever changing, ever evolving.
Yeah, we're going to run it out, see how long it goes.
Another 16, 17 years.
Yeah, you know, just a short run.
Well, you know, it's nice because we can just broadcast right from our.
It's so delightful.
Oh, I know what I was going to say that I got sidetracked on earlier. When I was a young guy, when I started doing this in the 70s, playing in bars, performing in bars, if I wanted to learn a song, I had to find a music store that had a sheet music, drive across town, purchase the sheet music, drive back, and have to do it from that standpoint. And there were other things involved too. Now, all I have to do is Google the name of the song, and actually I have a service that I pay for that has the chords, everything, and backing tracks. I can get every aspect, every piece of information of that song without ever having to leave my house.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, just that being able to reach the people we reach, you guys with your podcast, me with the Facebook thing I'm doing, I would have never thought that back in the 70s, that I could do that. Well, then my grandson, my grandsons Noah and Zach, they know how to operate the iPad and the video on it, and they call me up. 4 years old, and they call me up and know how to do that. And man, I remember when it was like, "Hey, everybody, be quiet! It's long distance," you know, that kind of thing.
After 9.
Yeah. Do you remember long distance?
Oh yeah, rotary phones, long distance.
Party lines.
Yep.
That was before it was with the girls.
You could get. Yeah.
The girl party lines. The ones that have come on at 1 o'clock with the commercials.
Perhaps I don't know those party lines.
That's not the party line I'm talking.
Yeah. Those are the 900 party lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we grew up knowing about party lines, but we didn't actually have them. Like where you shared a phone line with another house.
Yeah, that was great. My grandparents did. I remember that. And just what you said, share the line. But a lot of times, and it's tempting. People would, you know, want to listen in on personal family conversations. So, you
really I know I would
have that lack of privacy. Well, you must love the internet then.
I really like reality shows. So it's like you're watching real people do garbagey things, and then it makes me feel better about myself.
You should feel real good about yourself. Imagine the kind of person that would go on a show like that.
That's got to be desperation. Like, I read about the people who are on like My 600-Pound Life, and their surgery is paid for if they agree to be on the show.
Well, now there's different types of reality shows. It's interesting when you said reality show, my mind didn't go to that particular show or some of the other ones that did, like Hoarders.
Right, where there's more mental illness involved than yeah.
And I always felt sorry for the hoarder. I always sided with the hoarder because I said, probably because I have a lot of shit and I'm 2 steps away from being a hoarder myself. But everything I have means something to me.
Yeah.
And so It may not mean nothing to you. It may be a piece of garbage to you. But that represents something that triggers something in my mind that I don't want to part with yet.
And you can see.
I would always side with the hoarders going, get out of their lives!
You can see how much it hurts them, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You want to do something nice? Pack the shit up for them and put it in a goddamn storage unit. Or buy them an old trailer and stick it all out. But I didn't think of those kind of reality shows. I was thinking more about the reality shows of, what was that big one on MTV with those kids? Jersey Shore and that kind of
stuff. Oh, yeah.
That genre of where it's really about attracting self-attention and acting up and doing things. That's the kind of reality shows that I'm like, eh.
Where you're worried about everybody catching all the same STDs?
I like the age I'm at. I don't want to get any older because I know it's all downhill from here. I'm over. I'm at a point in my life where I'm not trying to make it. I'm just trying to enjoy what I did make.
Do you have any upcoming projects that you're planning after we're all released from our COVID
prisons?
Well, hopefully get back to the schedule of performing and doing the shows, because they really tell dick jokes, I sing songs, I sing curse songs, I sing down. I do what I like when I walk on stage. I do what I feel. But the underlying, and I like to see it as more than just a guy with a guitar, playing Margaritaville or whatever. And I'm not dissing that, but I'm just saying that my thing is, I try to, we attract like minds, people that are around us, people are my friends and fans. We have similarities, and I think that that's what it's about. It's about kind of coming to the club. We'd like to drink together, and have a good time, treat people right and everything. And I'm not going to play you that. I'm going to play what I like, and hopefully it's something you'll dig.
That's the best you can hope for, being true to yourself and let everybody come along.
Now it's all pretty much a composite of all the things that I've been doing, different things I've done. For years I did I did rock and roll, and then I did country, and stand-up comedy for years, and I would always combine all this different things I've done. Plus, I did some writing for some entertainment rags. And so all this stuff and I had a radio show and on, taking groups on cruises to the Caribbean with our show, with the Mad Dog show. And now it's like it's all gelling. I'm just doing all those things that I like and trying to put it all together the best way I can. And it's so freaking cool to have the means to do it through Facebook or YouTube, or just it's incredible. So that is what's getting me through this pandemic. Not that you ask, but
you can write a book.
I've had people ask me for the book, and hopefully I'll live long enough to do that. I've been writing short stories and notes and stuff from the road all my life, so I have a whole bunch of stuff. So, but if I didn't have this release, creative release, I think I'd probably go nuts. So I can only imagine, performers especially, without that live audience, there's nothing like a live audience. There's no substitute for a live audience.
Sure. Because, I mean, you're able to feed off of the energy, and the great thing is people are unpredictable, and so they'll take you in a direction that you may not have intended to, but you're glad you're there.
Yeah, absolutely. It wasn't easy. It hasn't been easy. It's not an easy life. It's a young man's or young woman's. It's a young person's game, really. I've been fortunate enough to be able to maintain and do it all my life. But it gets more, as I get older, it takes a little more out of me, more strenuous.
Well, I'm glad you're still able to do it. And I'm sure that, even if, even just, sitting at home, playing to the folks on Facebook, you can still feel your love and your spirit. So,
thanks. Thank you.
Yeah. You're young at heart.
I get a lot. Well, yeah, I hope to stay that way. I get a lot of love from my Facebook people. I mean, mail and email and messages I get. And I never would have had any idea it would mean that much to people these Friday nights. Because when I started out, I was apprehensive. I thought, oh, man, I'm showing my ass. If I screw, if it doesn't go over good, I might lose fans. I might be better off not doing anything until I get ready to go back live. But we did it. And, Michelle's been helping me. My wife, Michelle, she sits there and pours me my drinks and lets me know who's on and monitors the thing. And so we have fun doing it. And it seems to mean a lot to people. As I went on with it, I said, oh, yeah, this winter people are going to really enjoy it. If we're still in this pandemic, because I, yeah, you know, didn't know if we would still be like this or not.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of that going on. A lot of people, like you guys. When did you start this podcast?
Towards the end of being locked down is when this particular series, I think, was. No?
I don't remember. I know we've been doing the podcast. We were doing the podcast before COVID.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or actually, no, we started last summer. So, yeah, we've been doing it a year and a half.
Yeah. And have you guys done other media stuff together, media projects, a theater, or anything like that? Or you seem like maybe you would.
No.
We make scarecrows to put in the backyard so we can shoot them with BB guns. we'll do makeup tutorials on each other. But that's about it.
Are you like best friends?
Yeah.
I like her well enough.
You had to hesitate.
No, we've got matching tattoos and everything. I mean, if that doesn't say BFF, I don't know what does.
Yeah. What was left? Yeah, I like her well enough. That was the resounding, you know.
Yeah, she's the world's okayest sister.
Well, as the father of two daughters who are very close. That's how I asked that question. It wasn't like a mad dog asking that question. That was dad going, you know, you guys close together, you know? I mean, some siblings are like that, just very close best friends.
Yeah, I'm grateful she's here.
Oh, you completely. Know, the great thing is that we have grown to love each other. We have developed that on our own accord, so it's not like we have to love each other, you know what I'm saying? So I think that has made us even stronger in the fact that family has brought us together, but we also really like each other and we really want to be around each other.
You'll be with each other the rest of your lives. You know, you'll have each other the rest of your lives.
Absolutely.
Amen.
You'll have to come on my show.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. We'd love to. I know I've watched The Perch Church a couple times. So.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. No, it's always a good time. I love watching you perform. And once we get out of the COVID, we'll have to make a little trip up to Put-in Bay and see you at the Roundhouse.
Oh, yeah.
See you in your full glory.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, just between us, it's going to be interesting going back if we're still in the COVID kind of situation where people have to be wearing masks and being grouped 6 feet apart. And all these different restrictions. And there's not going to, some of the things in my show that were really popular, we're not going to be able to do, like that conch blowing thing. And, you know, I'd always have people up on stage and play with them and have some fun. And we're not going to be able to do anything like that. And it's going to be challenging for me to see if I can come up with different things that work within those parameters. It's going to be very challenging.
Sure.
So but I'm curious. I'm curious and I'm somewhat excited about it too, because hey, it'll be what it'll be, but it's given me the challenge to try to come up with some other creative things.
You'll have this opportunity to start new traditions.
Yeah. Yeah. And people are rooting for you. I know that. They'll be rooting for it.
Well, I had a wonderful time and I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you so much. Do
you have a favorite toast other than the infamous Ziggy Zoggy?
Yes, I do. Still too early to be there. Since it's a virtual toast, I'll have a virtual shot.
There you go.
Brilliant.
Of Jack Daniels, I think. There are good ships and wood ships and ships that sail the sea, but the best ships are friendships. May they always be.
I'll drink to that. Is there anybody that you would like to give a shout out to or say hi to?
Well, yeah, of course I would. I mean, my daughter Kristen Adams up there in LA. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Good friend of the show.
You had her on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what got me turned on to you guys. And, you know, she's dealing with that COVID situation. And to get on the lot, the Warner Brothers lot, she's got to get tested a lot and all that stuff. So it's a big impact on their business out there. But I want to say hi to Kristen, tell her I love her and proud of her. My daughter, Shauna, is over there. And she's the communications director of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland here. But she and her husband and my two grandsons, Noah and Zach, are out there on Jersey Shore in Avalon. She's working from home. You know, it's so wonderful. My wife has been here working from home also at her job. So I just want to say hi to everybody and tell them I'm thinking about them and I love them.
Excellent.
I know they'll probably be listening, and I would be remiss in not saying hi.
We want, when everybody is done listening to this, that they have a big old smile on their face.
I hope so. I hope so, man. You got to see, I'm preaching my philosophy of life that every day above ground is a
good day.
That's right. We should have started with that. So, anyway, that's the Perch Church philosophy. There you have it.
Excellent.
I really enjoyed talking with you. And I'll be talking with you tomorrow night on my show, on my Perch Church show on Facebook.
Yeah, guys, tune into that. Well, what I heard was we are out of time. We will see you next week. Psst. Hey, you. Check out our website. We have some hot merch. And if you like what you hear, throw us a couple dollars so we can keep doing what we do. Watch my drink. I gotta pee.
Visit our website at wihhw.com.
It's the end of the season. It's gonna be freezing again. End of the summer, so we'll march to a new drummer, my friend. Don't it seem like we just got here yesterday? Ain't it funny how the time does pass? Oh, how the season goes so fast. I guess, oh, how the season goes so fast. Shutting down Main Street and counting the receipts again. There's a notion of motion, cause everything's closing, my friend. Seems like the older we get, the quicker the time does pass. I guess so, how the season goes so fast. It goes so fast, and the time just marches on. In the blink of an eye, it's over, and then all of your friends are gone. Another typical day, another typical tourist town. When the tourists all leave, there ain't nothing going down. Just a simple reminder how things never last. So how the season goes so fast. How the season, it goes so fast, and the time just marches on. In the blink of an eye, it's over, and then all of your friends are gone. So board up the windows and let the winds blow us away. Put your boat into storage, you won't take another voyage till May. I got an idea. Let's all meet right here, same time next year. Till then, let these memories last. So, how the season goes so fast.
slow, how the season grows so fast. We had a blast. I made some new friends to make up for the ones I trashed. I guess, oh, how the season goes so fast. We're stuck on the island, there's no sense in trying.